Well, hello everyone. Happy Sabbath. I hope you guys all had a really good week. Mine was very busy. I was batching it this week. Sandra left me to go see our grandkids for the week, and so me and Dolby were on our own, but we survived. But we're definitely glad to have her back. Well, if you like titles for the message, today's title is, Can God Trust You to Be a Peacemaker? Can God trust you to be a peacemaker? Because, brethren, God has called us to be peacemakers. In fact, He is entrusting us with each other to live in peace. So the question is, can He trust us to do that? Now, what do you think when you think of peacemaking? You know, what comes to mind when you hear that term? You know, there have been many peacemakers who have tried to bring peace to the earth. Nelson Mandela, Mohandas Gandhi, Mother Teresa, those are some names that come to mind, you know, when you think of peacemaking and people who have attempted to bring peace to the world, at least to their portion of the world. And we know that the world is constantly in conflict, our world is, and we recently saw Jerusalem explode into war again as Hamas began raining down missiles once again on Jerusalem. Now we know that they're currently in a ceasefire, but we know it's only a matter of time before war is going to break out again. And this is just a hot spot. You know, we know through prophecy that it is and always will be until Jesus Christ returns. But there have been many, many leaders who have attempted to broker peace over there only to see their attempts fail. And there's been many attempts to broker peace all over the world throughout time. And we've seen it fail over and over again. Well, even in here in our own country, while thankfully we don't have any military actions going on, there is a war of sorts for the hearts and minds of our countrymen. Our country is greatly divided. You know, we saw that in the last election. And there seems to be two polar opposite sides between the conservatives and the liberals. And there's no meeting of the minds. You know, there's no compromise. There's no peace. So what else comes to mind when you think about peacemaking? You might be familiar with a particular firearm that was developed in 1873 called the 1873 Single Action Army. It was developed by the Colt Firearm Company. Later became dubbed as the Peacemaker. I don't know if you've heard of that before, but we know that this weapon, nor any weapon for that matter, has been successful in bringing about any kind of peace. What do you think when you think of peace? How would you define peace? Most people would define peace as an absence of war. And you know, it's been estimated that in all of mankind's history, there have only been 300 years without war. Only 300 years in all of mankind's history that there has been not a state of war in some case somewhere. How terrible is that? You know, that's the world that we live in. Others may define peace, I've seen this definition, as being a state of tranquility or quiet. And I think we can all relate to that. You know, it's been a long, hard week at work, or maybe you've been at home, stuck at home with the screaming children. You know, you think, I just want some peace and quiet. You know, that would be a definition of peace. Another definition of peace might be harmony in personal relations, you know, getting along with people. That would be another definition of peace. But I think the most important definition that we can go to concerning peace and concerning peacemaking in this whole subject is, of course, the Word of God. And today we're going to take a little time to talk about peace and what it means to be a peacemaker and what that looks like in our lives. Because the question for us today, brethren, is can God trust us to be peacemakers? So let's start off with the scripture that we most often refer to, and this is the one that immediately comes to mind. And that's from Jesus' own words in Matthew 5, verse 9. Now, this is what we commonly refer to as the Beatitudes. And we're not going to read all of them. We're just going to read what pertains to us today. It's very short. It's very sweet, but very powerful. And it's going to be the subject of our split sermon this morning. Matthew 5, verse 9 says this, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God." Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Again, a simple statement, but one with profound meaning. Because what it's saying here is if we want to be a child of God, or other versions talk about being sons of God, if we want to be a child of God, then we must strive to be peacemakers. And on the flip side of that coin, if you flip it around, you could say that if we're not a peacemaker, then we're not going to be considered a child of God. So this is quite a serious statement. But what is a peacemaker? And if you look up the word peacemaker in the dictionary, There are all kinds of sources that you could look up and find a definition for, but I found that they pretty much all follow a common thread. And here are some examples. Definition number one, a peacemaker is a person who tries to create harmony or make peace. Someone who tries to create harmony or make peace. And another one would be one that makes peace, especially by settling disputes. You know, by making peace by settling disputes. Now, according to this first definition, a peacemaker is one who tries to create harmony, to create peace. It's something that they try to create. So we're going to read a few scriptures, and we're going to see just how God defines one who seeks to create peace. We're going to start in the Psalms. We're going to start at Psalms 34, verse 14. We know that David was a man of war. And so being a man of war, you know he could really appreciate peace. He knew peace when he saw it. But most of his entire life was spent being a man of war. And so let's turn to Psalms 34 again, and we'll read verses, just verse 14. Psalms 34, verse 14. It says this, "Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." Seek peace and pursue it. So this is a question that we should all ask ourselves. Do we seek peace? Do we pursue it with everyone that we come in contact with? You know, the word peacemaker itself indicates that there's an action needed. Because a peacemaker seeks peace. They pursue it. They desire it. It's not something that they're just happy with if it happens. You know, a peacemaker doesn't just let peace happen or not. You know, it's something that they are very much engaged in, very much seeking, looking for, searching for. See, we are not to wait for peace to happen. We are to make it happen. Psalms 37, just a few pages over. Psalm 37, verse 11 says, "But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." Do we delight in peace, brethren? Is this what motivates us? Because if peace is what motivates us, then we look for ways to be peaceful. We look for ways to avoid arguments, to avoid fights with other people. You know, those in our lives, whether it be family, friends, people at work, what have you. Now let's go to the New Testament and read something in Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. We're going to read verses 5 through 7. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, we're going to read verses 5 through 7. It says, "Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." The peace of God will guard our hearts and minds. And brethren, that's what we need in this world, because we live in a society that's characterized by noise and strife and turmoil, unrest, violence, and unease. And we need the peace of God to guard our hearts and minds against these things. And we are to allow the peace within us to infect and influence our environment and influence those that we come in contact with, to intentionally reflect and relay God's peace to others. And see, if we're actively creating peace in our hearts, then we're not going to bring conflict into the world. We're going to bring something else entirely. We're going to bring compassion. We're going to bring empathy. You know, turn on the news and you're very likely to hear people crying out for peace. But 2 minutes later, you're likely to hear about many of the major conflicts that are going on in this world. Not just war, but also politically and socially. You know, we see a lot of conflict going on. And our society focuses more on the idea of peace rather than taking steps toward peacemaking. In fact, peacemaking is somewhat countercultural to our society's values. Because as a society, we can be very prideful. I think especially as Americans, you know, we're prideful and revenge-seeking. It's part of our culture. It's part of the culture that we teach. In fact, we teach our children sometimes in this society to win at all costs and to be right. You know, that's a common thread that we see in our society. But these values don't lend themselves well to peacemaking. You know, think about your own life. Do you like to win an argument? You know, have you ever held a grudge? Have you used harsh words or used a sharp tone with your family or with friends? Or do you strive to listen to the opinion of others? Do you forgive easily? Do you choose your words carefully and use a gentle delivery? Peacemaking is not easy, and it requires hard, selfless actions. And it requires something else, too. It requires a different spirit, not the spirit of this world, but God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit. That's part of what we're going to get into today. Let's turn over to Ephesians, just a few pages back. Ephesians 4, we're going to read verses 1 through 3. Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 3. And this is Paul speaking. He says, "As a prisoner of the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." So notice that Paul talks about being a humble person, because it takes a humble person to be a peacemaker. A peacemaker has to be willing to sacrifice his or her pride sometimes for the sake of peace. You know, but that's what we have to do. That's what we're called to do. And we need to have a different spirit, brethren, than what we see in this world and the people we come in contact with. People should be able to recognize that we deal with things differently, that we react differently, you know, whether that be at work or at church or at home. You know, when things come up, we don't have that same angry response that others might have. We come at things from a little different angle. So we're talking about having and displaying a different spirit. Now, Galatians 5:22 talks about what that looks like. So let's turn over to Galatians chapter 5, just a few pages over. And we're going to begin in verse 19. We're going to read about the works of the flesh first, so we can kind of contrast between that and the fruits of the Spirit. But so beginning in verse 19 says, of Galatians 5, "The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God." Now notice that dissensions and discords are among the works of the flesh that could prevent us from bringing the kingdom of heaven. You know, that's something that we should all should take very, very seriously. You know, sometimes I'm sure you've met people like this, I know I have, that seem to revel in being unhappy. You know, it just seems to be their mantra, their way of thinking. And they always seem to be contentious, they always seem to be antagonistic, they always seem to be at odds with other people. And brethren, we should really look at ourselves, and if we find that that's the case with us, you know, then we should really need to question if we have the spirit of a peacemaker. Now, I have to confess that I have found at certain times in my life, I've been this way. I've been at odds with other people before. And I'd like to think that I have grown in this area, that I've left behind some of that youthful stubbornness and realized that a lot of the things that I used to get so tore up about just aren't worth getting that upset about anymore. But as we get older, as we mature, and not just older in years, but older older spiritually, we should be maturing and realizing that a lot of things that we used to get so tore up about just aren't worth it. We should be learning to cut people some slack, you know, to not be so judgmental, a little more live and let live. Have a little more desire to live, to have peace in our lives. Now, if you're young and you want to be wise beyond your years, then you should look at things through the lens of a peacemaker and realize that people are human, you know, and they make mistakes. And not let yourself develop the habit of getting so tore up over things. So let's pick it up in verse 22, talking about the fruits of the Spirit. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." So we see here that peace is one of the fruits of God's Spirit. And if we have God's Spirit working in us, then peace is one of the fruits that we're going to exemplify in our lives, that it's going to come out. Other people are going to see it. You know, we should take a long, hard look at ourselves and really be honest with ourselves and ask the hard question. Am I a peacemaker? Is this something that people would say of me, you know, in the workplace, at home, at church, in our communities? Would people look at Dan and say, Dan's a peaceful guy? You know, he hardly ever gets tore up about things. He seems to just be a peaceful kind of person. That's what I want people to be able to say of me. And I know that's what you want people to be able to say of you. But we should really look at ourselves and ask that question and say, is that something that people would say of me? Let's turn over to Romans chapter 8. We're going to read verse 14. Again, very short scripture, but very powerful and very, very good. Romans 8, verse 14 says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God." I'm going to read that again. "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God." Because that's what we're talking about, becoming a child of God. And one of the ways we can do that, be known as a child of God, is through peacemaking. But being led by the Spirit always includes bearing the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is peace. So you can see why it must be so that the children of God must be peacemakers. And it's by the Spirit of God that we're made children of God, which is something that we all are striving to be. And the Spirit of God is the Spirit of peace. So if we're not peacemakers, then we don't have the Spirit of Christ. And if we're not being led by the Spirit of Christ, then we're being led by a different spirit altogether. And you know, that's not something that we want to have said of us. Let's turn over to James chapter 3. We're going to read verses 17 through 18. James chapter 3, verses 17 through 18. Says this, verse 17, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." There it is again, making peace. There are actions that we need to take. Another thing we should ask ourselves is, does our communication, whether it be email, whether it be social media, whether it be in person, does it create peace or does it create something else? We need to ask ourselves if our actions are actions of peace, because it's so easy to justify our actions, isn't it? To justify our position. Like we have the right to make this stand or draw this line. And most of the things that we get upset about, most of the things that we draw lines in the sand over, if you will, are just not worth it. You know, Matthew 5 verse 9 specifically calls Christians to obedience and being peacemakers with others, both inside and outside the church. And it means we're held accountable, you know, for many things. How we react in traffic is a simple example, but we're held accountable for those things. How do we react when we see when someone cuts us off or whatever it might be? How we communicate when there is hurt from a friend. We all have experienced this when we've been hurt by someone. How do we communicate? How do we address that? How do we deal with that? How do we respond when something is done that we don't agree with? You know, that's something that's very important that we need to consider. How we deal with people at work. All these things. We need to very much consider these things. And many times, you know, it's human nature. We just want to win, don't we? You know, that's part of our human nature. We just want to win. We can get married to an idea or a position or an opinion, and then that becomes more important to us than having peace. We get entrenched in this idea or this position that we've adopted. And that's a very real scenario, and if we're honest, we've all found ourselves there, getting married to a position, especially in our marriages. You know, if you're married, I know you found yourself in that position before where you might be wrong, and you know you're wrong, but you're not going to give up. You know, you keep barreling on in that position because we just want to win. And we've all been there. We've all done that. So how do you overcome the desire to win over making peace? You know, that's a real question. Because we have a natural inclination to defend ourselves or our position or our cause. And peace can only prevail when that natural inclination that we all have to fight is superseded by a self-determination to live on a higher level, you know, to desire peace in our lives. Romans 14, verse 19. Let's turn over there. Romans 14, verse 19. We're just going to read just verse 19. says this: let us follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. So follow after the things which make for peace. As Christians, we're called to care for the spiritual needs of people as well as the physical, seeking to create peace for each person that we encounter. And it's quite a calling, and it's quite a responsibility, actually, to become a peacemaker. Because God has to know that He can trust us with His people, that we are going to be those who seek peace, not conflict. Because division is a very damaging thing. We've all seen division. We've seen splits. We've seen things that have happened through the years. We've had conflict with one another. And it's a damaging thing. And God only wants unity for us. And He has to know that we are committed to that. So the question before us today is, can God trust us to be peacemakers? You know, as children of God, we are responsible for one another. We are responsible for each other. God has, in a sense, placed each one of us in each other's care. And we are responsible for that. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew 18. Matthew 18, verse 12. We're going to start in verse 12. Now, this is one of those scriptures that can somewhat, at first glance, look to be a little confusing. But I think when you really get into it, you see the meaning behind it. Matthew 18, verse 12 says, "What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, will he not leave the 99 on the mountain and go in search of the one that is lost? And if it turns out that he finds it, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that did not get lost. So it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that even one of these little ones be lost." So, brethren, can God trust you to care for His people? Is this an attitude that you would have, that you would leave the 99 and go after the one? Do we have that kind of love for His people? Why does God teach us to go after the 99, go after the one and leave the 99? At first glance, it might seem kind of reckless. You know, why would you, in a sense, abandon the 99 to go after one? But when you think about it, the 99 care for each other. You know, while the shepherd goes after the lost sheep, they circle up for protection. They protect one another. It's not like you are completely abandoning, you know, the 99 to go after the one. So this admonition that we see here, it's not just for ministers. You know, this is not just an admonition for ministers. It's for all of us. It's an attitude. It's a frame of mind that God wants from us, that we would protect one another, go after one another, seek peace from one another. And as I said, in a sense, God has placed us in each other's care. So can He trust us with His sheep? You know, there's so much strife, there's so much contention, there's so much disharmony in the world. We don't need that here among each other. God calls us to be different than that, to not get caught up in those things. God loves His people very much. Can He trust us with them? Can He trust you with His sheep? Let's turn over to Colossians chapter 3. I'll read a scripture here that goes very much in line with what we're talking about here. Colossians chapter 3, we're going to read verses 12 through 15. Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 12. It says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." And verse 15, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to peace, and be thankful." I mean, that's a very, very profound statement. We are called to peace. This should be at the top of our list as Christians. And we should all ask ourselves, does the peace of God rule in my heart? Is that what drives me? Is peace what I seek after? Or am I okay with conflict? Am I okay with infighting? Is this what I pursue each and every day? So as we begin to wrap up this message, there's three points that I'd like to cover concerning peacemakers. First one is this: peacemakers love their enemies. Peacemakers love their enemies. Let's flip back over to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to read verses 43 through 45. Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 43, says, "You have heard that it was said, 'Love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven." See, Jesus makes it abundantly clear we are to love our enemies. And while we know this is easier said than done, he didn't just say this, you know, just to be saying it. He meant it. Peacemaking requires loving those that you disagree with, loving those that hurt you. It means praying for peace in your relationships, in your community, in your church, at home. You know, peacemaking is not easy. It's hard to turn the other cheek. It really is. It's hard to forgive those who sin against us. But others should be able to tell that we follow Jesus Christ by our attempts at peacemaking. And peacemaking is only possible with the help of the Holy Spirit. We must have that Holy Spirit to help us resolve our conflicts, to pursue peace in our lives. Point number two, peacemakers resolve conflicts. Peacemakers resolve conflicts. They resolve conflicts rather than aggravating them, rather than avoiding them. Sometimes you can't avoid a conflict, can you? Sometimes there's something that needs to be done. We need to deal with it. Peacemakers don't bear grudges. Instead of causing conflicts or inciting arguments, peacemakers are intentional about ending disagreements, about seeking peace and striving for reconciliation. Not just to keep dinner time peaceful, you know, not just to quote, keep the peace as they say, but they're working to reconcile relationships and mend hurts. Peacemaking requires taking some action to promote goodwill, and this means sometimes speaking up in love. It means we can do this by being the first to extend an olive branch sometimes to someone with whom we're clashing. It can also mean standing up for someone whom we see being taken advantage of, you know, in our family, in our workplace, our community. Sometimes peacemaking involves that as well. And the third point, peacemakers build bridges. Peacemakers build bridges. In a divisive climate, which we all find ourselves in sometimes, peacemakers look for opportunities to build bridges or repair broken fences. Rather than make divisions even more apparent, they look for ways to show kindness and graciousness to those that they agree with and those that they disagree with. In today's society, it's very easy to draw a line between those who think like we do and those who do not. It's very easy to get revved up to fight, you know, to fight to be right. But peacemakers recognize that it's more important to show love to others than to win an argument. And we're admonished in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, where it says, "Pursue peace with everyone and the holiness without which no one will see the Lord." So pursue peace with everyone. We are to chase after peace as if we're in a hunt for it. Peacemaking is work and effort. And it's work to establish the right relationships with and between people, to live with and among others in such a way that they are more at rest or more at ease in your presence than away from you. You know, is that something that people would say of us, that I'm at ease in their presence? They make me feel good. They make me feel at ease. That's something that we should strive to become. Peacemaking tries to build bridges to people, and it does not want animosity to remain. It wants reconciliation. It wants harmony. So in conclusion, brethren, being a peacemaker is something that we should all strive to be. We live in a world that doesn't value peace. Sure, they speak of it as if it's something that we all want. But in reality, very few live by actions that produce peace. It's a very contentious, a very me-first world. Being a peacemaker involves conflict resolution. It involves a true desire to have peace in all aspects of our lives, with whomever that we come in contact with. And true peace is an unwillingness to participate in anything that leads to conflict. A peacemaker avoids confrontation whenever possible. Sometimes that involves turning the other cheek. Sometimes that involves suffering to be defrauded, as the scripture says, to live in peace. And it also involves really trying to see things from the other person's perspective. I found in my 50 years on this earth, almost 51, that most people are not crazy. You know, at first glance, sometimes we are so far apart on our ideas that the other person's perspective can appear to be just that. It can appear to be crazy. We just cannot relate to them. We cannot understand where they're coming from. But I found that if I really take the time to really look at their position, while I might not agree, I can at least understand where they're coming from, and that makes resolution more possible. Peace is not obtained at the end of a barrel of a gun. It's not obtained at being self-centered and self-focused. It's accomplished by allowing God's Spirit to work in us and through us, unselfishly putting the other person first. Jesus taught people how to live with one another, and he declared, the two great commandments. First, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. And the second, to love your neighbor as yourself. So if we truly do that, then we can truly become peacemakers. God has entrusted each of us to each other's care, to love and protect. So finally, I'd like to each of us to really answer the question for ourselves, can God trust you to be a peacemaker?